Time now for the Sunday News, brought to you by Boyd Furniture and Mattress Center in downtown Wayne City. Where you get everyday low prices on Serta, Ashley, Catnapper, and Benchcraft Furniture. The Fairfield area weather calling for mostly sunny skies today, a high in the mid-40s, rain expected late tonight, and early low in the upper 30s, temperature rising to the low 40s by Monday morning. I'm Darren Cottle reporting. After the Fairfield Lady Mules won the Mary Mule Tournament, the FCHS wrestling and boys basketball teams completed a perfect week for the school's athletic department yesterday. The teams went a combined 11-0, with the weekend capped by a championship victory over Heron at the El Dorado Holiday Tournament last night. Mark Turner reports.
It was a great run by the Mules as they win all four games at the 54th annual El Dorado Holiday Tournament by margins of no less than 19 points. The final in the championship game was 62-43 over Heron. The Mules get three players on the all-tournament team. Reese Lee, James L. O'Neill, and Brian Estes named the tournament MVP. Earlier in the day, it was El Dorado winning the consolation championship, West Frankfort fifth place, and Massac County third place. The Mules get their second title at the El Dorado Holiday Tournament. They last won in 2006. It's been a long time coming, but the Mules get the tournament championship in 2018. Again, the final score, FCHS 62, Heron 43. Reporting for WFIW News, I'm Mark Turner at the El Dorado Holiday Tournament.
More news follows this break.
At Hamilton Memorial Family Clinics, your family's care team is close to home. But it's not just about convenience. It's compassionate, quality care. From routine care, vaccines, and DOT physicals, to acute needs like disease management, x-ray, and lab work. Hamilton Memorial Hospital Family Clinics in Carmine and McLeansboro have you covered. Plus, same-day appointments are available and a Carmine walk-in clinic on Saturdays for those unexpected illnesses. With six providers and eight specialty care clinics, maybe it's time to take another look at Hamilton Memorial Hospital Family Clinics.
Introducing Simplify My Meds at Shoe Creek Pharmacy. With Simplify My Meds, you can reduce stress and save time by filling all your prescriptions on the same day every month. Shoe Creek will take care of contacting your physicians, transferring prescriptions, and making sure you never run out of your medications again. They'll even coordinate refills for multiple family members so that they're all filled on the same day. Simply call Shoe Creek Pharmacy or take in your prescriptions to simplify your meds at your Health Mart Pharmacy. Shoe Creek Pharmacy, Wayne City.
Here's the latest on area river stages as of early this morning. The Little Wabash River east of Fairfield was at 20.6 feet this morning. Flood stage is 17 feet. At Clay City, the river was at 17 feet, a foot below flood stage. River at Clay City should rise to 20.6 feet by this Thursday. At Carmi, the level this morning was 23.5 feet. Flood stage is 27 feet. A rise to 28.5 is expected this Saturday. Skillet Fork at Wayne City was at 6.9 feet this morning and should remain steady, well below its 15-foot flood stage. Wabash at Mount Carmel was at 10.5 feet this morning. Flood stage there is 19 feet. A slow rise to 20.6 feet is expected by Monday, January 5th. Latest weather forecast is saying the region could receive more significant rainfall by late tonight and continuing into New Year's Eve. Monday's rainfall could be heavy at times, forecasters say, before things should dry out in time for the New Year's Day on Tuesday. Officials with the Illinois State Police announced the arrest of 31-year-old Christy D. Brown of Karnak for involuntary manslaughter and aggravated domestic battery. On Friday, the Pulaski County Sheriff's Department responded to a domestic dispute in Karnak, Illinois. Upon their arrival, they discovered that 33-year-old Duriel D. King of Karnak had been stabbed. King later died due to the injuries. The Pulaski County Sheriff's Department requested investigative assistance from ISP Zone 7. The investigation revealed that King had been stabbed by Brown during the domestic dispute. On Saturday, Pulaski County State's Attorney James Flummer charged Brown with one count of involuntary manslaughter and one count of aggravated domestic battery. Brown is being held in the Pulaski County Detention Center. Brown's bail was not immediately set. Published reports say the last remaining Sears store in southern Illinois is set to close. Sears announced the closure of 80 more stores on Friday, including the store in the St. Clair Square in Fairview Heights. The 80 stores are due to close in March. While Sears teeters on the brink of liquidation, Sears chairman Eddie Lampert's hedge fund said it submitted a last-minute bid this past Friday, valued at nearly $4.5 billion, to keep the struggling retailer from being liquidated. Transform Holdco LLC said it hopes to keep 425 stores open. The bid to the bankruptcy court includes $1.3 billion in financing from three institutions. In other news, officials, residents, and leaders from all over Illinois spent countless hours exploring how to best protect the largest drinking water source in central Illinois, the Mahomet Aquifer. State Senator Chapin Rose led a specially appointed task force, and last week they announced the conclusion of their work and are ready to make recommendations to lawmakers in Springfield. Among their recommendations, a process called helicopter electromagnetic imaging.
Helicopter-borne electromagnetic resonance imaging, and it's basically what it penetrates deep into the ground at very high quality subsurface mapping of the aquifer itself. It's not cheap. It cost about $20 million to do the entire aquifer, which spans the width of the state of Illinois. So you can imagine this is a pretty intensive effort. However, you can phase it to get the cost down and do it over time. And that one of the suggestions I would have is that we start with the natural gas leak where the known contamination is, so that we can better try to get that out of the water supply immediately or as quickly as possible. But that's the primary one.
One result of a high-tech image would involve partnering with those in agriculture. According to Senator Rose, it could help give information for a better nutrient loss reduction strategy.
It would help us better understand where the recharge zones are for the aquifer. In other words, where rainwater is being transformed into, you know, our drinking supply, so that we can better plan and manage to protect those recharge zones. That's important because there are all kinds of things in place right now requiring nutrient loss reduction strategies. And you were up at the Farm Bureau meeting a couple weeks ago. This is a big issue. You know, nitrogen, which is a common fertilizer, is used and needs to be used in our food supply to make sure that we have enough food in the world, but also too much nitrogen can cause problems in our drinking water. So knowing where the recharge zones are or aren't can really help us better strategize an appropriate nutrient loss reduction strategy with our partners in agriculture.
Among other issues looked at by the task force were the impact of old landfills and the threats they pose to the Mahomet Aquifer. As you planned to take down your Christmas tree, a horticulture expert at the University of Illinois Extension Office offers some ideas on what to do with it. Kim Howard has more.
If your tree is getting pretty dry, it's time to think about getting it out of the house, says the U of I's Richard Henschel. Many communities offer tree pickup for recycling, where they're ground into wood chips or used in lakes to improve fish habitats.
Other great uses would be to take that tree out, secure it to maybe the trunk of another tree in your yard. It serves a purpose in terms of bird refuge, and in inclement weather, you can decorate it outside with apple slices and string popcorn and cranberries, bread and peanut butter, and then that's just food for the birds.
Henschel says you can also remove the boughs and use them as mulching, and the tree trunk can be used as kindling for an outdoor fire pit. At the state capitol, I'm Kim Howard.
The U.S. Senate is back to work. For those hoping for a quick fix to the ongoing partial federal government shutdown, Senator Dick Durbin didn't paint a rosy picture in a visit with NBC's Chuck Todd on Meet the Press.
Well, we've offered the president some very specific opportunities. In fact, we just voted on one several days ago, a voice vote, unanimous voice vote, to move this government forward to the first or second week of February, which the president rejected after he heard the right-wing criticism.
Durbin says the president is negotiating with individuals on White House TVs and radios instead of lawmakers.
Well, I can tell you that the president just a few days ago said he was proud to author a shutdown of his own government, that he was elected to be the commander-in-chief and chief executive. It really is in the president's hands to decide. He says it's an issue of border security. I think we know better. It's an issue of his own political insecurity. When the right-wingers start screaming at him, he just backs off and dissembles in front of us. We now have reached a depth of dysfunction that I've never seen in Washington.
Democrats will have more leverage come January 3rd when they take control of the U.S. House. While most people were reveling in totality during the 2017 solar eclipse, a small team of area amateur astronomers were hard at work, carefully training their telescopes on the corona of light and plasma visible at the sun's outer edges. When combined with images from other amateur astronomer teams around the country, the work of these southern Illinoisans will produce the best high-resolution, rapid-cadence video ever taken of the sun's corona, which is visible only during solar eclipses, according to Bob Baer, who coordinated the local volunteers. As the local leader of Citizen Kate, the Continental American Telescopic Eclipse Experiment, Baer spent the year before the eclipse recruiting and training local educators, astronomy enthusiasts, and students to use identical telescopes and methods to image the sun. But rather than twiddle their thumbs until then, Baer and other dedicated local astronomy buffs are lending their telescopes to a new nationwide volunteer project tracking the movement of exoplanets. Just as a star at the center of our solar system, the sun has eight planets orbiting it. There is probably at least one planet orbiting every star we can see in the night sky, according to NASA. The trick is identifying them. The best way to detect an exoplanet is to catch the very small dip in the light output when it moves in front of its corresponding star, Baer explained. Once detected, each exoplanet's distinct orbit must be tracked and imaged. We've confirmed over 3,000 exoplanets to date, and the rate of discovery is increasing very quickly, Baer explained, as more robotic telescopes are sent into space to look around. That's a look at the news. Area deaths are next.
The original company radio stations and Old National Bank's annual Farm Profit Preview is Thursday, January 24th from 11 a.m. till 7 p.m. at Highland Woods in Vincennes. This year, you will have the opportunity to earn continuing education credits for your private and commercial applicator's license. There's also free health screenings, and Gary Truitt from Hoosier Ag Today will be promoting the HAT Network and TOC Farm programming. To secure your vendor booth, contact Jessica Hallman at events@originalcompany.com.
Ring in this new year in downtown Vincennes. Be part of one of America's top 10 quirky things to do on New Year's Eve by joining us for the 11th annual National New Year's Eve Watermelon Draw. Activities begin at 7 in the heated tent. Near midnight, watch the giant 500-pound watermelon being hoisted up for the countdown to 2019. At the stroke of midnight, the Knox County watermelons drop to this platform and the huge fireworks show celebrating 2019 begins.
Area deaths are brought to you by Nails Funeral Home in Fairfield and Albion. Nails Funeral Home, locally owned and operated, serving the area with professionalism and care in your family's time of need. In area deaths, 76-year-old Sisney resident Shirley Jean Libby died Friday at her home. She loved to go fishing and tent camping with her family when they were young. She enjoyed canning anything out of her garden. She was a past member of the Johnsonville Raritan Club, past member of the American Legion Auxiliary for Women Post 603 of Sisney, and a past member of the Johnsonville Methodist Church. Surviving are two daughters, Joyce Shingleton and Lori Payne of Sisney, six sons, Earl Libby of Red Bay, Alabama, Gary Warnick of Bethalto, Illinois, Carl Jr. Muller of La Place, Illinois, Howard Libby of Lake Carroll, Illinois, David Libby of Illinois, and John Libby of Wayne City. Several grandchildren and great-grandchildren also survive. Funeral services for Shirley Libby will be at 2 p.m. Wednesday at the Hosselton Meredith Funeral Home in Sisney. Visitation will be prior to the service from 1 to 2 p.m. Burial will be in Johnsonville Cemetery. Memorials may be directed to St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. The Hosselton Meredith Funeral Home in Sisney is in charge of the arrangements. 82-year-old Ellery resident Glenn A. Alleyoop Walne died at 2:08 p.m. Thursday at Meadowood Nursing Home in Grayville. He'd worked for Ram Oil, Wabash Asphalt, and Independence Cement before becoming disabled and was also a lifetime member of the Moose and Albion. Surviving are two daughters, Terry Jo Anderson and Cheryl Kemplin, both of Albion, and three grandchildren, Jacob Robertson, Dylan Anderson, and Morgan Kemplin. Funeral services for Glenn Wallen will be at 2:30 p.m. Monday at the Johnson and Vaughn Funeral Home in Fairfield, burial in Union Cemetery. Visitation from 12:30 p.m. Monday until the time of service at the Johnson and Vaughn Funeral Home in Fairfield, which is in charge of the arrangements. 67-year-old Xenia resident Ricky Lee Garrison died Thursday at Flora Rehabilitation and Healthcare Center. Surviving are brother Galen Garrison of Xenia, step-nephew Greg McDaniel of Bay St. Louis, Mississippi, and had many aunts, uncles, cousins, nieces, and nephews. Visitation will be today from 1 to 2 p.m. at the Hosselton Meredith Funeral Home in Sisney. A funeral service will be held at 2 p.m., burial in Gunyon Cemetery in rural Sisney. Memorials may be directed to Paws and Flora and will be accepted at the Hosselton Meredith Funeral Home in Sisney, which is in charge of the arrangements. A reminder, our obituaries are updated regularly at our website at WFIWradio.com. I'm Darren Caudill reporting.
Community Connection is now online at WFIWradio.com. Now, not only can you hear the Community Connection after the 7:15 news on WFIW AM 1390 and 103.3 FM, but you can hear it online anytime. If you missed the show, go to WFIWradio.com, then click on About Us, then Community Connection for the latest episodes. You can also catch up on past shows. Community Connection after the 7:15 news on WFIW AM 1390 and FM 103.3, and now online at WFIWradio.com.
One of the best things about this time of year is the opportunity for everyone at Professional Auto Parts in Carmi to say thank you and wish all their customers the very best this holiday season. Professional Auto Parts will always strive to provide you with the very best service and quality Carquest Auto Parts. They take pride in knowing that you trust them to help you with your parts needs for auto, farm, trucking, and more. Happy holidays from everyone at Professional Auto Parts, 211 9th Street in Carmi.
In sports, boys high school basketball yesterday at the El Dorado Holiday Tournament, West Frankfort over Edwards County 68-62. Carterville beat NCOE 68-48. Championship semifinals, Heron over Massac County 66-57. Fairfield over Harrisburg 68-49. Consolation championship, El Dorado beat Vienna 75-57. Fifth place game, West Frankfort over Carterville, 62-32. Third place game went to Massac County over Harrisburg, 62-45. And the Fairfield Mules beat Heron in the championship, 62-43. College basketball in overtime, it was Florida Atlantic over Illinois, 73-71. Western Kentucky beat Wisconsin, 83-76. Purdue over Belmont, 73-62. Kentucky over Louisville, 71-58. National Hockey League, Pittsburgh over St. Louis, 6-1. In overtime, Chicago beat Colorado, 3-2. College football at the Capital One Orange Bowl, Alabama over Oklahoma, 45-34. Goodyear Cotton Bowl Classic, Clemson over Notre Dame, 30-3. Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl, Florida over Michigan, 41-15. Your classic hits, WFIW 104.9 Fairfield area weather. Mostly sunny today, a high in the mid-40s, showers tonight, late, an evening low in the upper 30s, temperature rising to the low 40s by Monday morning. Showers Monday, maybe a thunderstorm, a high near 53. Monday night, mostly cloudy, a low in the mid-30s. New Year's Day, mostly cloudy, a high near 41. Partly sunny Wednesday, a high of 36. Chance of snow Thursday morning, then changing to rain, a high near 40. 34 yesterday's high in Fairfield, 24 today's low. Present Fairfield temperature is 25.